BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. And I think that there's, you know, some fog that has burned off there. I can't give you a percentage off the top of my head, but it's definitely better visibility than it was, but it's still out there. So just be aware, take a few extra minutes to get to where you're going and enjoy the spooky feeling. Cause this is kind of perfect October weather because yeah, it's foggy and it's kind of creepy out there, but it's also 60 degrees, so you get the best of both worlds. In fact, I actually left the house this morning without a jacket. I said, not only do I not need one now, I won't need one later when I come home. So I'm just going to go sans jacket, which I've had one on every day that it's been in the 70s and said, well, I got to remember to bring this home now. So today I was just like, meh. Be in the 60s. I don't need it. Anyway, it is perfectly spooky out there right now, and it was a perfectly spooky time last night in Fairhaven at the Millicent Library. Thanks, everybody that came out. As I mentioned earlier, you know, they filled the room up. People had to stand, and I appreciate those that did get up and give their seat to those that couldn't stand. But I don't think they were planning on getting that many people because they told me earlier in the day how many they had, and they were already surprised at that number, and more people showed up that didn't know that they had to register. And again, a lot of these libraries only ask you to register so they have an idea of how many chairs to put out or what room to hold it in. So it's never like they're going to turn you away if you didn't register, but it just helps them if you do. And my next presentation will be in Freetown on Saturday at 6:30 p.m. in the Freetown Police Department Community Room. So it's not the library. It's the community room of the new police station, so they can fit a lot more people in there. And I'll be talking about haunted objects. And I encourage anybody that thinks that they have an object that might be haunted or cursed to bring it along. And I'll have an EMF detector and a thermometer, and we'll just kind of run it over and see if we get any kind of anomalous readings from it. Doesn't mean that it's haunted, but you know, at least it's one step in the process of you finding out. We can talk about some of the other things you can do to determine if there might be something attached to your item. And then, of course, if you have haunted items that you don't want to take care of and you want to just leave them with me, happy to take them off your hands. If it's not something I'll hold on to for you, then I know people that run haunted museums, many people. I know Greg and Dana Newkirk. I know Satori Hawes and Cody Desbiens. I know John Zaffis, like all these people who run these museums. I could easily get these items to them. And the only person that I'm not, you know, friendly with is the man, Tony Sparrow, who runs the Warrens Museum now. But I don't think the Warrens Museum is taking any new items. But the rest of them, I can certainly pass the items on to them. And then, of course, I'm always happy to take your Ouija boards that you don't want, whether it be that you can come and bring them to me at one of these presentations, or if you just want to mail them here to the station. I get them in the mail. Everybody's like, I can't believe you got another one in the mail, but yep. Because a lot of people don't want them in their homes. You know, they find them in their homes. They don't want them, but they're afraid to throw them away or donate them because they don't know what's going to happen. So you can always feel free to send them to me. They will be well cared for. They'll go into my office with all the other Ouija boards that are in there. And if you haven't gotten one yet, if you are a Ouija fan, Five Below has a $5 Ouija board that's actually made out of wood. So it's a nice little board. And they're $5. And I bought a couple of cases of them so that I can bring them along on my paranormal events. And so Saturday night when we were in the tavern room of the Daniel Webster Inn, I pulled out a bunch of them. and was able to bring them. We were all in the booths at the tavern, and we were able to give everybody one at every booth, and they could sit down and investigate. And, you know, I probably spent, if you go buy a regular size Ouija board, depending on where you get it, it can cost you between $20 and $40. And for $60, I bought a case of 12 of the small boards, and everybody was able to get one. So for what I would have paid for two, I was able to get 12. So not a bad deal. But again, some people don't feel comfortable having them. But I don't think that they're any more dangerous than anything else that we do. So the whole Ouija thing, and I probably talked about this before, but the whole negative connotation didn't really come about until the 70s. When the book and the movie The Exorcist came out, and Reagan had been using the Ouija board when Captain Howdy came through. And then the next thing you know, she's possessed by the demon Pazuzu. Prior to that, people had Ouija boards in their homes and never really thought twice about it. They became hugely popular during the spiritualism age in the late 1800s, especially not only because people were trying to communicate with the dead quite frequently, but also because back in those days, if a man and a woman were interested in each other, it wasn't proper for them to sit on a couch together and hold hands. They had to keep a respectable distance between them. But if they sat at the little small table and they used a Ouija board, they could both put their hands on the planchette and their hands could touch and their knees could touch under the table. And it was, you know, a way to have some physical interaction without being scandalous about it. And many, many homes had Ouija boards in them because it was just a game that people would play. That's the way they looked at it. But then once The Exorcist came out and people were like, wait, we have one of those in our closet. All right, as soon as we get home from the movies, we're throwing that thing out. And then movies like Witchboard came out and, you know, more focus on it being a tool for negative interactions. It's really no different than anything else that we do in ghost hunting. If you walk into a place and just ask out loud, is there anybody here? That's the same thing as using a Ouija board. You're opening it up for anything to communicate back with you, whatever you think that anything may be. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've tried to limit the paranormal talk here as we get closer to Halloween, but there may be some more instances of it as we get closer to the big day. We are now 1 week away from Halloween, and I'm feeling kind of down about it this year because I know I've got a bowl. I can't take the day off. I took last Thursday off to tell ghost stories in Worcester. I was going to take tonight off to go to Rocky Horror, but those plans kind of fell through, so I'll probably just go bowling tonight. But I'm like kind of upset that we can't have Halloween off. I'd rather bowl an extra day in December than bowl on Halloween. But sorry, kids, no candy. Tim's got to go throw 127 and watch his team lose. Like last time I bowled, we won, but we're not very good. But it's fun, and I get to spend time with my brother. That's why we like it. 508-996-0500. So the story that I thought would get more interest yesterday locally, and I didn't hear much from anybody about it. Maybe they're just star-stored out. Maybe they're just tired of hearing about this ongoing saga. You know, Jack Spillane, when he was coming on regularly, would joke about how people were probably tired of hearing him talk about the Star Store, but I don't know that people are tired of hearing about when someone owes them money, because unpaid property taxes for the Star Store property is owing the people of New Bedford money. You already found out from the Inspector General's report that UMass Dartmouth and Star Store Holdings LLC were basically mismanaging the money or wasting the money that was being given to UMass to house the CVPA there. And now we know that there was more that needed to be done, that they just sat on the money and didn't utilize it and didn't do what they were supposed to do. So that's money wasted already. But now here, there's $1.5 million in property taxes that erode. And that's $1.5 million that should be going to you and your and the services that you require from the city and that the city provides for you. And everybody who doesn't pay only makes it harder for those who do. So it does affect you. Even if you say, I don't care about the Star Store. I don't care about the fact that UMass Dartmouth isn't there. I don't care about what goes in there. You should care about the fact that somebody owes you, the taxpaying citizen of New Bedford, $1.5 million. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes and if the city does take possession of that building, what they do with it from there. Chris and the mayor talked about it a little bit yesterday on South Coast Now, and you can hear the podcast on our website. You can hear it on our app. You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts from. And the Mayor's Hour has always got some sort of interesting tidbit in it. So it's definitely worth a listen. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Yesterday when you were talking today, but you reminded me yesterday that collecting, possessed or haunted items, and you said you had a storage unit.
Yes.
You'd put some of this stuff. It reminded me of that TV series, the Friday the 13th. Do you remember that
show? Yeah. Louis Vendredi. Yeah, I remember that. He would collect these items.
I remember a little bit about it, but I was just like, I'm wondering if your storage unit ain't going to, with all, I don't know, maybe possible negative, haunted energy.
People will tell me I should be over there like saging the storage unit and all that. And the truth is, it's not like it's a storage unit of just haunted items. It's my regular storage unit, but that's where I keep the stuff that it supposedly. So one of the items that I have is someone took a piece of a gravestone from a cemetery on Cape Cod, and it's an old 1600 stone. It has the death's head insignia. And so they picked this up off the ground and took it home and put it like on their mantle or whatever. And within weeks of them bringing it home, this couple ended up, you know, having these huge fights and everything, and they ended up getting divorced. So they gave it to somebody that I know who then put it in their house, and the same thing happened. They end up, you know, going through all these problems and they end up getting divorced. They gave it to me. She gave it to me because she wanted to get it out of her house because now she's thinking it's cursed. I take it to my house. I didn't bring it in the house. I kept it in the shed. But, now I'm no longer married, so you can put those pieces together as much as you want. But so I keep that in the shed. I keep that in the storage unit, rather, along with just a few other things people have given me over the years that I just don't know if there's any truth to the stories behind them. But better safe than sorry.
Yeah, well, because I remember that TV series, and I was back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
The TV show had come out. I was working at a job in a sonnet where we could have a TV on at night, and I've never been the biggest horror movie person, although I have seen some stuff, but watching that show in a sauna, which was close to the Freetown State Forest, and all the stories, you know, that came out of the Freetown era or the Freetown State Forest at the time, it was just like, I kind of spooked myself out. But that TV show... No, was it a special? Do you remember the show? Wasn't there like a special vault where they kept, I guess, what, the possessed items?
Yeah. So what had happened was on the show, if I remember correctly, and I haven't watched it in forever. You can stream it now. I think it's on Tubi or some of those free apps. But I guess what it was this guy Louis Vendredi had been collecting all these items, and he had made a deal with the devil or something, and now all the items were cursed, and so his niece and nephew had to go and collect all these items and return them to the store and get them out of the hands of people.
Yeah, I remember that part, and they whatever item that was supposedly possessed or whatever, they put in that vault.
Because they couldn't let it get in the hands of anybody else.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I would spook myself out because I've just never been the biggest horror person, you know, and all that stuff at the time, you know.
And what's
it? Old, I still don't like that stuff, but I can deal with it better.
I'll never forget, though, that, you know, people would always complain about that show because it had nothing to do with the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when I later took French in middle school and I learned the days of the week, my mind was blown because, you know, the uncle's name was Louis Vendredi. And Vendredi is French for Friday. And I was like, oh.
Oh, really?
What an interesting detail. But it was, you know, it's, you know, look back at it now, you're like, oh, that's a little bit cheesy. But yes, it was, that's why he had that name.
If I can remember this, I'm going to my mother's and she knows French. So I'll ask my mother to do it. But that's a weird one too. That's weird.
I think that was just their attempt at making it connected to the, that's why they called it Friday the 13th. But
yeah, but it probably had more spooky, you know, try to probably give it more spooky aspects than really connecting it to the movies.
Yeah, it was more about that thriller psychological horror than it was about the slasher stuff associated with Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
But they did that a lot with those syndicated shows. Showtime had a show that was later on in syndication called Poltergeist: The Legacy. And it really had nothing to do with the Poltergeist movies, but they just knew that they could capitalize on that title.
Oh, really? Oh, I never heard of that, but like I never went searching for some of those, like the more modern, like Blair Witch and that stuff. I don't go watch.
There was another. I was going to say there was another horror anthology series that was on first run syndication back at the same time as Friday the 13th, the series. You remember the show Freddy's Nightmares?
The title sounds familiar, but like I said, I wasn't into the horror genre.
Those
to really watch it, you know what I mean?
That show was more like individual horror stories, but they would have Freddy Krueger appear at the beginning of them and kind of introduce them. But some of the episodes actually did have to do with Freddy. And so for Nightmare on Elm Street fans, it's well worth going back and checking out. But I used to love all those shows. I used to love like the Hammer House of Horror, where they would have like little individual 45-minute horror movies, basically. So many of those are available now for free to watch on some of these streaming apps, and you can really get lost in all those. You know, instead of watching the same horror movies over and over again, people that are into that stuff can watch those shows. And it's better for people like yourself that aren't into horror because it's just spooky enough without being as over the top as the movies can get.
I'm still not quite into spooky, but the one movie that I thought was actually pretty good was, do you know the Bram Stoker's Dracula?
The Francis Ford Coppola one?
Gary Oldman has Dracula and Keanu Reeves when it was in it. I mean, I know he got panned for his acting ability, but I thought that movie was more realistic to the original story of Vlad.
Yeah, it was more
Impala.
It was more gothic than
horror.
But it
was also like the costumes and stuff like that. I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah.
That I think was like, I said, oh, this is probably, those costumes are going to be nominated for an Oscar.
I believe they were. I believe they won.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know if they won, but I think they were. But I was like, sometimes you can pick out a movie with, like, for me, that's what I'm more interested in. I said, oh, that looks like it's going to get nominated or something like that. But I thought that was more scary because it seemed more possible, realistic than, like, say, Friday the 13th, Hellraiser, or all those type of movies, you know what I mean? Because you really don't hear about that, like, Hellraiser or the slasher stuff, like, actually happening.
Right. No, and you know,
unless you hear it more than I would, but
actually, Bram Stoker's Dracula, they won the Academy Award for Best Costume Design.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that they was pretty good, you know what I mean?
It also won Best Makeup and Hair.
A lot of old-time stuff, you know, where they could go for really like make the costumes really good in the at least the makeup on Gary Oldman.
Yeah. And that
you know what I mean?
That hairstyle that they gave him is probably why they won best makeup and hair too. So they won the award for that as well.
Oh, did it win makeup and hair? Yeah, that would probably.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Tim. Bye.
Have a great day. And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500. You know, it is close enough. We're a week out from Halloween. I'll ask the question. You know, what is your favorite horror movie or TV series? There's been a lot of new horror in recent years because horror has become a genre that is, I mean, it's always been a genre that is accessible to people. It's always been a genre that if you felt like there wasn't other movies that you connected with, you found a way to connect with horror films. And we see a lot of ourselves in different horror characters. And the ultimate challenge of what they have to face in those movies, you know, can be inspirational for us. One of the big things that has become an inspiration to people is the final girl trope. The girl who survives the serial killer, the slasher, the whatever it is, but the person who survives and is the strongest and is a role model for people. And the Terrifier films, part of the reason why they become so popular is because of the character of Sienna in 2 and 3. So you go from getting somebody who is just, you know, surviving and, you know, no knock on Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween, but she was just surviving in the first film to the point where now you look at Jamie Lee Curtis in the more recent Halloween trilogy and she's a badass. And that's been the evolution of the final girl, is they've gone from somebody who, you know, just did enough to not die to being, you know, this killer just messed with the wrong person. And that's become hugely aspirational for people and inspirational. So I think that you're seeing a lot of social change that's influenced by horror because there's a lot of people that are into it now. It's become very marketable. Go to a horror convention. Go to the Horror Family Store in downtown New Bedford. You can see exactly how marketable this is because they have like little things for everything. T-shirts, sweatshirts, trinkets, all kinds of things. All right, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, again, Phil's off today, so we won't have the news, but we can take more of your calls. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We will be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You were mentioning what the scary movies affected you when you were young. I was thinking when I was a kid, I watched the original movie, The Thing, over at a friend's house. But then I realized it was dark when I had to go home and I had to walk home. And it was a mile to get there. And there were no houses. There were just street lights. And I scared the crap out of myself all the way home. That's, I think, when I learned how to run. because it was just everything in the woods that was making noise. And that movie scared me because, I don't know. It was black and white. It was not like the biggest, the best make of a movie. But the second one more recently was 30 Days of Nights, which, you know, I don't know. I started to watch it for some reason. I ended up watching all the way through and that scared the crap out of me too. But I just realized when I was waiting on hold that both those movies were set in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't even really think about it till right now. But, yeah, those were the two that kind of got me. I sort of avoid those movies in general because they're not pleasant for me. anyway, those were the two.
So you're talking about the original The Thing from Another World from, the 60s?
Yeah, it was the black and white. And I think the thing was actually James Arness was The Thing. Who was the guy that was in Gunsmoke. Mm-hmm. He was the sheriff from Gunsmoke. He was the actor that played The Thing. And yeah, it was just the whole unraveling and the fact that they were in this place where they couldn't really get away because it was wintertime in Alaska and they were, you know, an outpost, an army outpost. And all of a sudden this thing is there and is popping in and out and killing people as it goes. And, you know, I think at 12 or 13 years old, that scared the crap out of me.
So I take it you probably didn't see the... You probably didn't see the remake, the John Carpenter version.
I did. I saw most of it, and obviously different and similar, but a different take because of the technology. But I did see that later on for sure.
And one of my favorite parts about The Thing from Another World is one of the doctors in the film is George Fenneman, the guy that used to be the announcer for Groucho Marx on You Bet Your Life.
Oh, really?
So kind of weird seeing him in a serious role, but yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Well, listen, you have a great morning.
You as well. Take care. And 508-996-0500. Also in that film, too, was Paul Frees, who was an American actor and comedian, of course, but also known for some of the voice work that he would do, and pretty popular guy that's been in a lot of stuff. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad. So I'm going to change it up on you a little bit. I'll go with politics, but also food.
Okay.
So I'll go with the food first because I thought that was really interesting. Something I actually saw it on, a guy just made like a grilled cheese. And he put hot honey on the grilled cheese.
Mm.
And he put it, he made it with, it was like Pepper Jack and Colby. But then he just drizzled the hot honey on it. And the only time I've ever had hot honey was actually on a pizza, and it was really good. I was like, oh, hey, you know what? Let me try this. Dude, absolute game changer. You just drizzle it like right along the edge of the cheese so you get it on the first bite, and then you kind of like just zigzag it down the middle, and it's an absolute game changer.
So you're doing it on the cheese inside the sandwich, not on the outside of the sandwich?
No, inside, on the cheese itself.
Okay.
So it goes all inside. You're the one who does something on the outside of a sandwich, don't you?
Well, grilled cheese is I put ketchup on the outside of it.
I knew it. You weirdo. That's it. I knew. Because you know what? I tried it, too. You got me to try it, and it was horrendous. Yes, and I actually had to call in the next day and chastise you for that one. I remember that conversation.
If I want to do the hot honey thing, I will not include ketchup as part of that concoction. So
good. Thank God. I would have to just stop listening to your show for anything in regards to food. I'm like, he doesn't know anything that he's talking about.
I will tell you, one of my favorite grilled cheeses to make is at the diner that I worked at. So we used to get big boxes of mushrooms in. And when we got them in, we would have to slice them all up and then grill them all up in some butter on the grill, and then we would break them down into smaller containers, and we would freeze them, and then we would have some for, you know, omelets and for people to put on burgers and everything, but then, you know, we'd freeze the rest of them so that they'd stay fresh. And every time that we had to make those, my boss kind of taught me to make this sandwich, but it was one that he enjoyed. We took pumpernickel bread. You put some butter on the bread. You grill that up for the grilled cheese. We would use either American cheese or Swiss cheese. And then you take some of those grilled up mushrooms and you layer that into the sandwich. Oh, my God. That's one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
All right. I'll take that one. I'll try that one, too. This is the last chance you have, though. The last time you gave me a recipe, it was ketchup on the outside of a grilled cheese.
Do not put ketchup on the grilled cheese and mushroom. You definitely don't want to do that. And then there's also one of my favorites too, the pizza sandwich, which is where if you have like leftover like meat sauce, you just make a grilled cheese, use provolone or mozzarella if you have it, but you make a grilled cheese and then you put the meat sauce in the middle of that, and then you eat that together. You can throw some pepperonis in there if you have those. Pizza sandwich.
Yeah,
we used to put that on the menu. Kids would go crazy for it.
That sounds actually pretty decent too.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, I'm going to give you a reprieve. And I'll forgive you for the ketchup. So those two sound actually good. I love grilled cheese. It's like a go-to when I need something quick and I don't actually feel like really cooking something.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to the politics, right? So yesterday I called up and I talked about how Kelly made these comments and we were talking about enemies from within, right?
Right.
Kamala Harris had remarks on Kelly's comments yesterday. And you pointed out yesterday that Donald Trump was being specific when he was talking about it. He's talking about Pelosi and he's talking about whoever else, I think you said, Schumer maybe. That's not what Kamala was saying yesterday. Palmolo was saying.
But, by the way, I'm just going to interrupt you just because I know George is listening. He's going to want to know why I didn't correct you for pronouncing it incorrectly. It's you. It's Kamala.
Vice President Harris. Because I'll mess it up. I guarantee you. I know
you're not doing it intentionally.
So Harris, this is why I actually refer to her as Harris and Trump. It's Harris and Trump just so I don't mess up the name. Harris had remarks yesterday in regards to Kelly's comments. And she was specific on saying any American. She wasn't specific on who it was. She said blanket, any American who doesn't kowtow and kneel to the wishes of Trump. That is absolutely reckless with a man that's had his life, you know, attempted to take his life multiple times, assassination attempts. And now you're still making these rhetorical comments that he is going to be a fascist dictator that will use the military against any American who doesn't obey him. That's basically what she was saying. And anybody on the left and the right, this is because let me tell you, there's a lot of people on the far right, the very anti-government right wing, will absolutely go after Trump again because they are so anti-federal government and anti-government in general. And it's not even just the left. It's both sides are going to go after this guy with that type of rhetoric. That is absolutely dangerous. Especially, I mean, we are, how many weeks are we from the last potential assassination when the guy was, you know, in the grassy knoll in Florida, you know, with a sniper rifle?
Well, I mean, even closer to that was the guy with the guns in his car that was going to the Coachella rally.
Yeah, you had that guy, but I wouldn't even put him in the same camp because that guy was just stopped on an outer ring, like a mile out from the event, and he was actually stopped before he was even in position. But the other guy at the golf course, he was in position,
right,
ready to take a shot once he crossed over. Like, if Donald Trump crest the hill of his golf course, he was going to be taken out, or he was going to be attempted to be taken out. Because he was a hole away, basically, you know, a couple hundred yards away. And, you know, we are 2 weeks away from that attempt, and never mind the one in Pennsylvania. And we have the Vice President of the United States actually saying this type of stuff is absolutely deplorable. Because I listened to her actual comments. I just read it on C-SPAN, and she literally said he is going to use the military against anybody who does not agree with him. That's completely irresponsible. And she should be held, you know, accountable by the media for saying something like that. So I get it. I know what you were saying yesterday, that he was being specific or that, you know, against Pelosi, but Kamala Harris, I'm going to mess it up again. I do it all the time. Harris, Vice President Harris.
You got it right that time, though.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'm getting it right or wrong.
Just think of a comma, like a comma in a sentence, comma, and then la, Kamala.
Vice President Harris was very, now I keep saying specific, but she was actually not specific when she just pretty much blanket covered anybody who disagrees with Trump. And well, I think that's very irresponsible.
If I can do a little bit of whataboutism, too. So, the same thing happened when, you know, Donald Trump was complaining about the fact that, you know, that the courts were being weaponized against him as a political enemy. And that, you know, if they can do it to Trump, they can do it to you. Well, no, they can't do it to me because nobody's accused me of the things that they're accusing you of because I didn't do those things like you did. So it's not.
Right.
They speak in generalities. That's what a political candidate does, because that's what gets people to emotionally react and want to come out and vote.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like, I know what you're saying, and Trump was equally, you know, wrong on that. But he wasn't saying it in the way that she is. Like, she's literally saying he wants to be Hitler because he said, you know, I wish I had generals. Because Trump said, Trump said, I wish I had generals like Adolf Hitler had generals, where basically the military was obeying him versus obeying the Constitution. right? That's where she was making a comparison with.
But keep in mind, she's not the one saying that. She's echoing the sentiments that were said by his former chief of staff, who is a military general.
Correct. No, I completely agree with that. But that's my point in regard.
If there's a military general who worked for Donald Trump who is saying this, and she is the person who's running against him, she probably feels an ethical responsibility to give that more of a microphone, to say, listen, here you have somebody who is dangerous, and he's being referred to as dangerous by people that were close to him. And so she just has to reiterate that point. Now, is she doing it for political purposes? Of course. But I mean, obviously, if you knew that somebody was dangerous and they were going to get close to people that you knew, you would want to warn those people, right? Even if you didn't, if you heard that information from somebody else, you'd still want them to know.
I would have to verify it. But now, because the reason why I would say that is because you have, I don't like Michael Flynn. But you have Michael Flynn doing the opposite, right? You had Michael Flynn, who is also a general, that's on the side of Trump.
But you have one guy on the side of Trump versus Milley, Kelly, Mattis, all these other people who have come out and said negative things about him. Bolton, who is not a general, but still. So you have all these people who have spoken out against him versus one that stuck with him, who also, by the way, is completely, completely influenced by the QAnon conspiracy.
Oh, I thought, 1,000%. Yeah, no, that's why I said I don't take anything that Michael Flynn says. I'm just saying you do have another general on the other side that's saying the opposite. But my whole thing is we have the vice president has the responsibility to be careful because she knows how there's been multiple physical. He literally took a bullet. As much as nobody likes to admit it, and it's not on the media as much as it should be, we have a presidential candidate who is literally struck by a bullet because of rhetorical.
But wouldn't the argument, and then I've got to take a break here in a moment, but wouldn't the argument go the same way that the rhetoric Trump, if you already know political violence has been something that has been subject to this, an issue in this race, and if you know that there are people who are motivated on both sides to get to that point, then isn't it just as irresponsible for him to push out the same rhetoric that he has?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Both sides need to calm it down. But my point was our conversation yesterday. You know, how you were saying that it was a specific, targeted people that he was going to go after, where Harris was saying, no, he's going to go after anybody who doesn't agree with him. He's going to use the military against every American who doesn't agree with him. That's what she said yesterday. That's the point I'm trying to make. Right. It's not specific as you were making it out to be yesterday. And I think it's extremely dangerous for the vice president of the United States to say that.
I will hold you there. Thank you for the call.
All right, Jim. Have a good one, man.
You too. I got to take a break, but caller, hang on. I will take you as soon as we get back. We'll be back in just a few moments. Back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
One of your good qualities, I think, is that you let your callers go on their topic without interrupting them, whether you're for or against their beliefs. And I kind of know where you stand politically, but I want to talk about what that last call just said about Trump. Do you think that the military would follow Trump's orders stand down? I don't either. And I think it's an insult to the military in this country when this vice president says that Trump will do this, do that. I think our military is independent thinking, and I think that's what makes them so strong. Look, Trump couldn't even get enough good people around him from prevent some guy to get 200 yards away from him on a roof. So him getting enough of that political muscle, military muscle together to do any kind of coup is ridiculous. And anyone that thinks different doesn't understand how the military works. Thank you. But you can comment on that if you'd like. I'm going to listen to you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I think that it is, it's all just rhetoric. I don't think it would actually happen in actuality. But the desire to do it is still just as dangerous. It's still just as scary of a possibility. Whether or not somebody can actually do it, you shouldn't say to yourself, if you are going to, let's just say that you are somebody that's going to vote for Donald Trump, but that you actually believe that he wants to do that. You shouldn't say to yourself, well, it's okay though, because the military will keep it from happening. the fact that he would still want to do it, if you actually believe that he would want to do it, is enough to make you, should make you have pause about voting for him. I'm saying if you believe that. Personally, I don't believe that he's actually going to do that. So that doesn't enter into my thinking for it. Looks like that caller's calling back. Sorry.
Well, it's okay, though.
Oh. Still there. Are you going to catch up? All right, I can't listen to myself come back, but I've got to take a break anyway. Let me get this final break out of the way. Before I take that break, though, let me tell you about a place where there is no decide. Well, there's decisions when you get there, but it's an easy decision to decide to go there, and that's the butcher shop in New Bedford. Once you get there, deciding what you're going to bring home for dinner and what you're going to bring home for some treats for yourself, that's going to be the hard part. But when you go in there, you're going to see all the great meats that they have right there on display. And you can say, wow, this looks different than it does in the grocery store. And that's because it's fresh. That's because it's high quality. And the other thing is, you know, most of the grocery stores, they don't let you see that stuff. That's all in the back. You only get to see what they've already cut, put in the packages, and you don't know when that happened. But at the butcher shop, they're going to cut it right there for you, right there in front of you, and they're going to cut it exactly the way you want it. Things like Terrace Major, things like sirloins, things like one of my favorites, the tomahawk steak, celebrity pork chops, regular pork chops. But if celebrity is on the table, I mean, you're not going to want to go back to regular pork chops. Giant chicken wings, all kinds of things that you would want to serve up for you or your family right there at the butcher shop. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Check them out, and I guarantee you, you will find something delicious. All right, we'll be right back. This is going to do it for hour number two. When we come back in the next hour, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We got some app chat messages I'll get into coming up in the next hour. We can talk more about the presidential election. We are now less than 2 weeks away. We can talk about some of the local things that are going on. We can talk more about the discussion we were having earlier about horror movies. What horror movies